Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. Well, coming up this fall, the fall of 2024, that'll mark the 50th year of the IHSA High School Football Playoffs. They started in 1974, and John Elder from Alexis, a key part of that process and implementing the system. And I was thinking earlier this week about, you know, kind of that era. So the fall of 1974, Coach Elder, the first year of the IHSA High School Football Playoffs, what was kind of going on leading up to that? Like, you know, if we go back 50 years in the spring of 1974, what was the talk back then?
Well, as I say, I think, Jim, people were excited about it, but I don't recall a lot of fanfare in the spring concerning the upcoming fall playoffs. You know, they kind of waited until the fall, and things came out early in the fall with the brackets, et cetera, so everyone had an idea where their conference was going to fall if they were fortunate enough to be to participate and that sort of thing. But in terms of a lot of activity in the spring, I'm sure there was a certain amount of anticipation among coaches, and people knew, had an idea of the relative strength of their particular teams for that fall, and were hopeful that things would go right for them. And we were fortunate enough that things fell into place for us right down the line. So from that standpoint, it worked out well for us.
And I think of that time then. What do you think that really the key piece was that said, hey, we're going to do this. We need this football playoff structure within the IHSA. Was there kind of a key moment in the discussions to say, hey, we got to get this thing implemented and we need to have a system? What really was the determining factor in that, you think?
Well, you know, some of the neighboring states were having playoffs at that point, and the majority of coaches and were involved, and the majority of fans, to be quite honest, were interested in some type of a playoff. But how the immediate structure fell into place, to be quite honest with you, came at a meeting when there was much discussion about it, and Liz Astroth, who was the IHSA director, executive director at that point, reached in his desk and pulled out, said, I've got this plan that looks like it might work. And basically, that's the plan they went with, you know. So even though coaches had input, but it was more indirect input, he kind of pulled from conversations with school administrators and with coaches and so forth to where he and the plan worked. Let's put it that way.
So I was thinking then, so as the 1973 season ends in high school football, did you know in the fall of that school year that there was going to be, you know, IHSA football playoffs the next school year, or was it a bit later in that school year until the official announcement came?
Well, it was at least in the winter, Jim. I can't recall exactly, but I know prior to spring, we were well aware of the fact that there was going to be a playoff. We didn't, you know, and like I say, we knew how things were going to be bracketed, et cetera, et cetera. But in terms of people were not apprehensive, but they knew based on what their successes had been in the 73 team and what they had returning and so forth, whether they had a chance to be successful or not. And as I say, it worked out where things worked out well for us, for sure.
So when it started, five classes and 16 teams in each class. But the seeding was far different, right? You said predetermined, whatever conference you came out of, that was right. How the bracket was set up?
The brackets were set up and by conferences. I mean, but then you knew what your chances of what conference you would be bracketed with, let's put it that way. And as it turned out, in our particular case, there were also spots for at large teams, and in 2A level, as it turned out, the two at large teams both came out of our conference, the Little Six Conference, and we were paired up initially with Rova, who was the only team that had beaten us during the year, the only team that had scored on us, to be quite honest with you, at that point. And we were bracketed with them, and Galva was bracketed with Sherrard. And as it turned out, it all fell into place for everybody.
So the newness of it then, in 1974, I'm thinking about when this whole thing started. As kind of a young coach back then at Alexis, what was that really like for you to see that come to fruition and be a part of it and say, hey, we're going to play more than nine games this year because we have the playoffs here in 1974?
Yeah, well, we were excited about it, and the excitement grew as the playoffs went, because what it really did was bond the area and, you know, behind people. And I've told this story many times. There was a fella who was a great high school sports fan, and I won't mention his name, but he was from Abingdon. And when we played Abingdon, he was the loudest, most voice, vociferous person at me during the games and that sort of thing. But as the playoffs went along, he was our biggest supporter, you know, from the sidelines. And so that told me right there how much the area and the fans enjoyed it, you know, and it brought recognition to certain areas, and it brought recognition to conferences, et cetera. And, you know, and people had thought, for instance, that football in the little six conference was good small school football. And as it turned out, that, well, you know, proved to be the case throughout the playoffs for sure.
I like how you describe that Abingdon fan. That's tremendous. So I look then at the system of what it is now, you know, as we enter 2024. Are you happy to see the games return to Hancock Stadium? Now, it's been renovated, of course. When the system started in 1974, Hancock Stadium looked a little, you know, far different. And now they've made the upgrades, and it's back at ISU. Do you think that's the best fit for the IHSA state football finals?
Well, I always liked that place the best myself, I guess probably because that's where we were involved. And yes, it was pretty Spartan in those days. You know, football stadiums weren't set up to play four games in a day, so, and back-to-back. So they had makeshift locker rooms. Our locker room was a cutoff in the Horton Gym part of it. They had a, you know, we didn't really have a true locker room. So, and I'm sure now then that's considerably different. But, and to be honest with you, I was very skeptical when they took it to the University of Illinois, because I thought, particularly for small school football, and that's where my interest lay, was that it would be people, 1A people would be lost in that place, and they wouldn't get, but as it turned out, that wasn't totally the case. But I like the, it gives more of a small school feeling at ISU, even though it's as a considerably larger stadium now than it was then, for sure. And again, I'm still a small school football person.
So we know now the system is, you know, eight classes, 32 teams per class, 256 qualifiers. And when I look kind of at the history, I know in 85, I think the playoffs were expanded from 16 to 32 teams in each class. And let's see, class 5A and 6A, I know for a short time, were moved to Dyke Stadium. Well, then the playoffs were expanded in 80 to six classes. But then right. In 85, it looked like maybe the big expansion occurred from 16 teams to 32 teams right. In each class. And now there's 256 qualifiers. I think that started in 2001. What do you think, when you look back here over the 50 years, what do you think the biggest change has been in this whole thing?
Well, the biggest thing, obviously, is it's got more communities involved. And even the detractors of the eight-class system know that there's no going back, because it's created so much interest in so many different communities that with the additional teams and the additional classes, et cetera, that people are able to grab on to something, even though it's not watered down, because you're still playing people within your size range and so forth. But for the purists, they still like it like it was to start with, to be honest with you. But there aren't many of those people around anymore after 50 years.
Yeah. So I was thinking, too, then, do you draw some similarities with how the eight-man game has evolved with their state tournament series to maybe back in the early 70s when the first IHSA, you know, state series started in 11-man football? You know, do you think there's some fair comparisons there?
Yeah, I would say so. The difference is, of course, that they basically seed themselves based on their records, which they in eight-man they disregard, you know, theoretically, the playoffs were set up where the pairings would be geographically, so to speak. And that's not necessarily the case at all with the eight man. But yeah, there's many comparisons. There's some ground rules that were the same, but there's also some things that they will tweak and have tweaked as they've gone on. And people talk about, you know, some detractors on eight-man football say, well, half of the people get in the playoffs. More than half the people get in the playoffs in 11-man football, yeah. You know. So from that standpoint, it's just the fact that they don't have as many teams to start with. But eight-man is you know, I've obviously paid more attention to it now, but I was an advocate 30 years ago of when the rather than co-opting to go to something like eight-man football, and people turned their nose up at me. But anyway, that's another story.
Yeah, and I know you've told me that story before. And I tell people, you know, and when I've talked to coaches that have coached in eight-man football, that, you know, they tell me the same thing. I'm like, well, what's the difference? There is no difference. You got to block and tackle if you want to win.
It's a faster game. It's a faster game, and it's, to be quite honest with you, it's saved football in these smaller communities with limited numbers. There's no question about that. I mean, and the best description I can say is the coach told me, he said, you know, they feel just as bad when they lose and just as happy when they win as they did when they were playing 11-man football. And that's what it's about with football, with kids, particularly in small school football.
Yeah,
you know, because they're what people forget is, you know, small schools play football with a bunch of kids that like to play. Big school football play football with some football players.
Yeah, well, and I think the other thing about eight man for me, my observation, you know, for the small school, it allows you to have a program where you can have a JV program or a freshman team or whatever. And, you know, those small schools, before they made the decision to go to eight-man, they were playing kids on Friday nights on the varsity level by attrition and attrition only. The kids really weren't earning their spot. They had to play because of the numbers. They didn't have any other kids to play. So, and then if you can't, like I said, I tell people the test for me is if you can't field a JV team in 11-man football, you really need to consider going to eight-man. But I was going to ask you, too, kind of segueing from there, Coach Elder, what do you think the mesh point is then for, you know, this eight-man and then, you know, still right now operating under the auspices of the Illinois Eight-Man Football Association? I think that's what the official name is. And there's always been talk about when will they fall under the umbrella of the Illinois High School Association. So I what do you think the answer is to that? And, you know, I always hear a lot of people say, well, should it still be just then eight total classes, one eight-man class, and then seven classes of 11-man football? Or how do you see that? What do you think the best way to do that would be?
Well, basically, I think just the same as other states have done. They've not touched their 11-man playoff at all. They just had a separate playoff for the 8-man, or in some states, 6-man football. And more often than not, there's not enough teams that they have more than one class there. But it's a thing that whether I not knowing much about the inner workings of the whole thing, I do know this. I think there are some schools that are reluctant to get involved until will be reluctant to get involved until it becomes under the auspices of the IHSA, and basically because they take to a degree personal feelings out of the planning structure, let's say, when it's governed by a set of rules such as the other people are governed by in 11-man football, when they have one governing body that represents all schools.
Well, great to check in with John Elder again, kind of taking a walk down memory lane is, again, this fall in 2024 will mark the 50th year of the IHSA state football playoff, started in 1974. John Elder, a key part of that process, so a tip of the cap to him. Always great to visit with you, Coach Elder. Thanks for coming on with us today. Greatly appreciate it.
All right, Jim. Thanks. Nice to talk with you.
And you're listening to WRMJ.